Hundreds and hundreds of years into the future, there is a librarian named Pam who spends her days listening to audio recordings, sifting through digital files, trying to work out what to keep and what to get rid of. Mostly, she gets rid of all the files. Obama's speeches sounds boring to Pam. Delete. Classic Mozart. Nope. Gone. Beyonce's Crazy in Love. Delete, delete, delete. Everything she deletes until one day she happens upon a sound she's never heard of before. She keeps listening to it. She takes it home. She starts dreaming about it. She wants to know, what does this mean? And eventually she goes to her supervisor and kind of friend, Daria, and she gets her to listen to the sound. And it's only then that Pam begins to realize how dangerous this sound is. Daria says that this sound is going to infect them all. Pam finds herself on the run and still trying to search for what this sound means. Now she's hearing something that is actually quite ordinary to us, but has disappeared in the future. She's hearing the sound of birds, of trees swaying in the wind, of water trickling down, the sound of a rainforest. All of that has disappeared. In the name of progress, even humans have disappeared until all that is left is great soaring towers and cities and an AI system that thinks it's kind of human. And it's going on okay. Until the sound is released and begins to grind things to a halt, begins to cause things to unravel. Pam hears the sound and it fills her with wonder and this yearning for more. Now, this is a story. This is not necessarily where we're heading. It's a story found on a podcast called Forest 404 that was released last year. Finally, I have gotten into podcasts. It's taken me a while, but over the summer, I started listening to podcasts, particularly when I went away to Queensland with my family. I started listening to podcasts because my family go to bed so early, so I found myself having to be quiet and retire early. And so in the dim light in my bedroom, I'd put on headphones. And I like listening particularly to stories. And a lot of the stories almost seem to me to be functioning like parables. Like this particular podcast. This particular podcast is drawing on things that are happening in our world now and trying to play with them, trying to work out where we might be heading. So you put on a headphone and it's like you're falling into the future. It's like you can hear these voices speaking to you, telling you their story. I hear Pam telling me how she put on her headphones and heard this sound that affected her, and I find myself being affected too. That's what a good story or a parable does. It immerses you into a world that often is a little bit familiar, but it's also surprising in some way, has this twist. But a parable wants to provoke a reaction. It wants to have you puzzling over it after you have heard it. Jesus loved telling parables. He loved to, you know, stir things up a little bit. And people loved listening to Jesus. Like, to hear Jesus speak was a big deal. It was an event. People would leave their towns and go out into the countryside to see what he was going to say next. What shocking story will he tell us now? And he'd say there was a farmer scattering seed all over the place. And some of the seed fell on the path and the birds came down and picked it up. And some of the seed fell on the ground and the sun got it and they shriveled up. And some of the seed fell amongst weeds and it got choked out. And some seed fell in good soil. Some seed dug deep, deep roots. Some seed yielded a great harvest. That's how the story ends. You can hear the crowd murmuring like, okay, well, what does it mean? Who are we in this story? What is this seed? But Jesus doesn't tell them. In fact, he only tells a few of his disciples privately later on. In verse 11, he says, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God." In the past, God would raise up prophets, people who would speak on God's behalf. And when the prophets spoke, they would disrupt and challenge the people of Israel. And some of those words were written down and compiled, and over time Israel's scriptures developed, and they called them the Word of God. And these written words had a way of rupturing lives, convicting people. When God speaks, you should expect things to shake. You should expect things to unravel and reform. When God speaks, it's like seed being scattered all over the place. This seed is scattered and it falls into places, bringing the possibility of transformation, of life. Jesus goes on to say, listen, if you listen, you will hear the word of God. God is speaking right now. If you look, you will see the word of God. It's not hidden away. It's like a light being put out on a stand for all to see. It's not a light being hidden away in a jar. So look and pay attention, because some will hear and not grasp it. Some will see and not understand. Pay attention. Now, he's probably emphasizing this point a lot because I think at this moment he's started to lose the crowd. He can see that people are starting to like be distracted. They're talking amongst themselves, looking backwards, because while he's giving this talk, his family is at the edges of the crowd and they want to see him and they can't see him. And so they've sent this message down through the crowd and it's slowly working its way down. That's why Jesus can see all these people whispering and getting distracted until finally the message reaches him. Hey, your mum's here, Jesus. She wants you to go and say hello. And Jesus, who's trying to make his main point here, will not be distracted. He is determined to get his point across. And so he says it and uses this opportunity to make his point. Verse 21, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." That's what the crowd was waiting for. Here is the shocking statement. My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. This is the point Jesus is trying to make. Listen to God and then do. Put God's word into practice and I will consider you part of my family. That's a pretty extraordinary thing to say. So I want to spend some time now listening and looking at what happens next in Luke's gospel. Let's try and pay attention. Because I don't know if you've picked this up, but strange things happen in Luke's gospel. Things that you wouldn't expect to happen, happen. After Jesus gives this talk, he ends up leaving with his disciples. They get into a boat and start sailing across this Lake of Galilee. And, you know, Jesus is tired, so he goes down for a rest. He starts snoozing away. And the disciples notice that there are these dark clouds forming in the sky. They look up and fat drops begin to fall. And then suddenly there's this downpour and the wind is whipping about. This tiny little boat is being rocked back and forth. And they're trying to like get the water out of the boat, try not to slip and fall. They scramble to Jesus and shake him, asking for help. And then this happens. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Jesus tosses a few words out into the wind and the storm is gone. Where there is chaos, there is now peace. And the disciples stand there dripping wet, thinking, who is this man? What does this mean? They are afraid. They are astounded. Who can just with a few words change the course of a storm? They have seen Jesus transform weather before their own eyes. In this podcast I was watching or listening to, they alternated between telling the story and also bringing in experts who would give short talks on various topics around the theme of science and technology in the future. And one of the people they brought in was a woman named Elsa. She's a biofuturist. In other words, it means she's a synthetic biologist, science fiction writer, and a biotech future capitalist. She also describes herself as a cyborg because she has a chip in her hand. And she's asked, like, how did you end up in this line of work? And she says, you know, when I was a child, I used to imagine, you know, when I had problems or things were bad, that I could just get into a spaceship and leave it all behind, leave this old world behind, just go up, shoot up into space. And then it struck her that if science is capable of building such a thing as a rocket ship, and surely science was also capable of fixing some of the problems in the world. She doesn't believe in God, and so what she kind of really believes in is science. Now, as an adult, it's not just her small problems anymore. She can see that we are living in a time of some pretty profound disruption. And in a TED talk, she says, innovation can't save us anymore because we are sleepwalking into the sixth mass extinction. Disruption might. We need disruption. Disruption is born at intersections, especially the intersection between biology and technology. This is where her hope lies. Technology will save us. And I don't know how much you know about what's happening in the sphere of biology, but there's some pretty extraordinary things happening. I think some potentially revolutionary things happening. I also think there's some really big ethical decisions that need to be made. In that space, it's pretty powerful. I can understand why sometimes God, having faith in God, might seem foolish, might seem something that's better set aside. I can understand why sometimes the Gospels might seem foolish. I mean, there's some pretty strange stories about Jesus. You think, I don't know, humans sometimes seem pretty powerful. Maybe we can transform ourselves. Jesus is weird. I mean, have you read Luke's gospel? It just keeps getting weirder. After dealing with the storm, Jesus and his disciples pull into shore. And what happens next? There is a man who's described as demon-possessed. There is a man running towards them without any clothes on, a man who lives in the cemetery, who hangs out amongst the dead. He is crazy, he's unpredictable, and he is screaming at them as he runs towards Jesus. And he says, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." Jesus cuts through the screen with just a word. He orders, this is the most natural thing in the world, he orders the evil spirit to leave this man. Jesus believes in demons. It's like he's standing at the intersection between spirit and matter. And as he orders this spirit to leave, the man's body starts to shake. We notice that there are chains hanging off his wrists and his ankles. This man is shaking and screaming, and Jesus, it's like Jesus thinks he's having a conversation with him. He asks him, "Well, what's your name?" And the reply is, "Legion." These demons beg Jesus not to send them to this place called the Abyss, but rather into a herd of pigs, and Jesus agrees. Now, the disciples are watching this bizarre exchange. They hear this conversation, and the next thing they see are the pigs going mad, these pigs stampeding down the hill and throwing themselves into the water, drowning themselves. It's like something out of a horror movie. And the pig herders leave, flee to town, bring the town back. And so soon the whole town is staring at this spectacle of bloated pigs bobbing in the waters, sinking. And the man that they're used to seeing running around naked, sitting there calmly with clothes on. Who is this man? And what does it mean? The town is afraid. They actually ask Jesus to leave this area. And so Jesus does. The town is afraid because Jesus has disrupted their lives. They've kind of gotten used to having the crazy man living near them. It's kind of disconcerting to see him suddenly so normal. In the podcast, there's this antagonist friend supervisor of Pam's named Daria. And she happens to also listen to this sound that they're forbidden to hear. And she has a very different reaction to Pam. She hates it. She has nightmares about it. She wants to make it stop because she recognizes that if people heard the sound, it would change the city. It would disrupt it. And she likes the city. She likes the life that she has. She says, why would you release something into the world that made people feel so out of control and small? So what if it made you feel connected or grounded or correspondent to something larger than yourself? What use are those feelings in building a progressive world? I think many of us can feel that way about Jesus. Jesus doesn't fit in. He doesn't conform to what we want. He's too unsettling. He unravels us. He raises the possibility that there might be things beyond us, out of our control, that there might be spirits, out of our control, that there might be evil. He stands at the intersection and he looks evil in the face. I mean, I don't think we like to look at evil in the face. I don't like to look at chaos or destruction too long. I try to avoid it. And meanwhile, I guess we use our hands and our skills to try and tame chaos and destruction as much as we can. But what happens if there was a person who with just a word was able to tame such things? What if there was a person with just a word who's able to transform others? Jesus tells this man who's sitting there so calmly to go back to his town and to tell people the story of what God has done. And you can imagine that when he goes back and tells the story, some people will think, I don't believe you. That's crazy. And dismiss it, turn away, get uncomfortable by it. And some people hear the story and like, wow, that's incredible. But then it's like the story will seed into the back of their minds because, you know, they've got things to worry about, things to do, and they won't ponder it anymore. Some people will praise God. Some people will seek God out because of this story. What Jesus does is the town asks, and he leaves that region and he heads back to Galilee. And there he is welcome home. There's a big crowd once again following him. And once again, someone comes asking for help. This time it's a synagogue leader, Jairus. He falls down at Jesus' feet and he says, please come. My daughter is dying. We need you. And Jesus, of course, agrees. But because there's such a crowd, he's actually really slow in getting there. And as he's walking, he suddenly says, who touched me? And people are like halting, stumbling into each other. They're like, what do you mean who touched you? Like, there's a lot of people around you. We're all like kind of huddled together here. But Jesus is insistent. Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. And then a woman steps forward, trembling, nervous. She falls down at his feet and says, it was me. And she tells her story of how she has been bleeding for 12 years and nothing she tried could help. And then she reached out and touched Jesus' cloak. And just like that, she was healed. Jesus blesses the woman for her faith. And as he's blessing her, a messenger comes from Jairus' house saying, the daughter's dead. Don't bother, it's too late. She's gone. But Jesus replies like this. Verse 50, don't be afraid, just believe and she will be healed. They go into the house. People are crying and wailing, but Jesus kind of brushes past them and enters the room where this dead girl lays. And he takes up her hand and he says to her, my child, get up. Quiet voice in a dead room. This girl gets up. This girl gets up and says she's hungry, says she wants some food. Parents don't know what to say. What does this mean? Who is this man who's able to reverse death? Who's able to transform a dead girl's body? Have you been listening? Have you been paying attention? Do you remember the story Jesus told of the farmer who was so generous, who scattered seed everywhere? What was the seed? The word of God, an almost forgotten seed, a seed that the people hadn't seen in a long time. And some of the seed fell onto the path and was snatched up by the birds and taken away. And some of the seed fell on hard ground and the sun shriveled them to nothing. And some of the seed fell amongst weeds and thorns and got choked out. But some seed fell into good soil, grew roots, and yielded a great, great harvest. That's the story Jesus told. And then what do we see? After that, we see Jesus speaking and the wind and waves listening. We see Jesus speaking and spirits, evil spirits leaving. We see Jesus speaking and dead girls coming back to life. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And every time he does these things, he says to the people around him, not just have faith in God, he actually says, have faith in me, trust me, believe. Believe that God is doing a new thing and it's going to unravel you. But it's a good thing. Jesus can bring transformation in our lives, and not just in our lives, but in this whole world. So I want to invite you now to close your eyes as we sit with this question, or these two questions for a moment. Do you need Jesus to come into your life and disrupt it? Are there parts of your life that need to be transformed? Keeping your eyes closed, I want to invite the prayer team to stand and head to the back of the church. And I want you to hear these questions again. Do you need Jesus to come into your life and disrupt it? Are there parts of your life that need to be transformed? If the answer is yes, then I want to give you the opportunity this morning to stand and head to the back of the church. And let someone from our prayer team pray for you and ask for Jesus to be at work in your life. Ask for the Spirit to transform you. Now they're going to be there now. You can head up there now. You can head up during the song, or you can head up after morning tea. You're welcome to go at any time. Let me ask you for the third time. Do you need, or actually maybe I should say, do you want Jesus to come into your life and disrupt it? Are there parts of your life that need to be transformed? Let me invite the band up and let me pray. Lord Jesus, we want to recognize that you are here right now and we want to encounter you, even if it might challenge us, affect us. Would you meet us here now? Would you minister to us? Help us to be attentive to you. Help us to pay attention. Help us to listen to you now. Amen.